Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm thrilled to have Jamie Palmer as today's guest. Jamie Palmer is an online business strategist and the CEO of Outlier Marketing Group. Working with entrepreneurs for nearly 17 years to grow and scale their businesses, Jamie has expertise in strategic business development necessary for competitive industries. Through social media, website design, coaching, and more, Jamie helps her clients to create messages that resonate with their audiences and align with their organizational goals, culture, vision, and values. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm super excited to be here.
Yes, me too. I'd love if you could first start off by telling and sharing with our listeners what you do and what led you there.
Yeah, so I am an online business strategist and coach, but I didn't start that at that at that place. I actually, when I started my business, I started as a web design firm, but today I work with entrepreneurs to grow and scale their businesses online, or if it's somebody who is new to the online world, I really help them familiarize themselves and establish an online business ecosystem to grow and scale and really just achieve whatever it is that they want to achieve from a goal perspective.
Awesome. So what made you want to get into this space?
Great question. It kind of happened by accident. It wasn't super intentional, to be completely transparent. I was doing tons of done-for-you social media. And one of the things that I always did was meet with my clients on a weekly basis. And we would talk about strategy and things that they could do to grow their business outside of, you know, the social media I was doing for them. And it just kind of sort of evolved to that. I had a couple of clients that were like, Jamie, like, we want to kind of take over our social media, but we still want to like do coaching and strategy with you. And so it just kind of happened. And I love it. Like, I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do. I love working with somebody on strategy and really just getting hyper clear around what it is that they want to do and how they want to do it in their business model. And then moving them from like setting up that foundation to like the marketing and scaling of that, because that's so fun to see when that happens.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing that you mentioned, it was almost kind of like, it almost seems like it was almost a natural transition for you, because it's like, you can do this done for you social media, but if you don't have the overall or overarching marketing strategy behind it, you can get good results. But with that strategy behind it, you get even better ones. So it's almost like being able to look at that bigger picture for your clients, help them to get even better results than what you're already bringing them.
Yeah. Well, you can't do marketing at all, period, unless you have a strategy in place, because really you're just kind of posting to post. And I had not been doing strategy and my clients weren't getting as good of results. And so I was just like, well, I want to make the best product possible. And so I added that in there. And ultimately, I really should have created as its own standalone thing way back in the day, but I was pretty young at the time when I was doing that. And so like, it didn't dawn on me that like, hey, you know, you can sell this as a standalone like I do now.
Yes, absolutely. And I know that you started your business pretty much right out of college, right?
Yeah. So I started my business my senior year in college. And yeah, that was a little scary. It was kind of during the recession. And so I actually was going to school for accounting and I was struggling to just find a job. And I was just like, I want to try this, because at the time I was doing bookkeeping at my aunt's company. And it was really the start of when local businesses were starting to be like, oh, I need a website. And I had a bunch of people coming in being like, oh, do you know anybody that does a website? And so I was like, And I took some classes, learned how to do that, and, you know, learned WordPress, which way back in the day is way different than the the WordPress that we know now. There was way more coding involved. But I was just like, all right, let's try this. And, you know, it just took off. It was kind of crazy, actually.
Wow. And I think that's really incredible of the fact that what you did was you took something that so many people needed and found a way to provide a solution for it, which is ultimately what you want to do with any type of business is within your target market, find what they could really benefit from having the most and then bring a way to solve it and serve it to them. So I think it's great that you kind of kept in mind that day after day, you were hearing people who just needed a website, you needed referrals for it. So you found a way to teach yourself and then solve that and provide it to them.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And it's funny because it evolved relatively quickly. I mean, the first 5 years I was solely focused on serving people locally. And back then, and this was like 2004, 2005, 2006, a lot of the local businesses did not have websites, right? Like nowadays you're like, how can you not have a website? Back then most people didn't. And it was really, really easy to help people get found on Google. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, 2007, 2008, social media kind of started to emerge. And it was like this natural transition. Cause I will never forget. I had this one lady, who I built this website for. She was a daycare center here in Rhode Island. And she kept being like, I'm not getting anything from my website. Like, I don't understand. Like, my website's not selling for me. And I was like, well, you know, websites don't sell. People do. And it turns out I had logged into her back end of her website and she had like 48 people who had filled out the contact us form on her website and she hadn't responded to any of them. And so
oh, no.
That to me was like this sign that you have to actually like A, teach people how to take it one step further and then really, you know, add in that social media layer and add in that connection space. Cause a lot of times people just don't realize how it's all integrated and it's all connected.
Yes, it definitely is. And that's something that as exactly what you just mentioned is that being able to not only just focus on as what I like to call one piece of the marketing pie, but actually the entire marketing pie is so important for getting those results and reaching your ideal client or customer.
Agreed completely. It's all integrated, you know, it's all connected. And if you don't have all the pieces of the puzzle together, then it just, you're going to have holes where you lose people along the way.
Absolutely. So when you were working for your aunt's business and you had all of these people coming to you asking if you did web design or knew someone who did, at this point in time, did you know that you wanted to one day be an entrepreneur or own a business? Or was it something that just kind of came to you and realized it was something that you actually did want to do?
I've always wanted to own my own business. When I was a little kid, ironically enough, I would go to this bargain book store that was near us and I would buy these textbooks, right? Like, so these old textbooks, my dad would give me like something like $20 and I get like two or three of them. And from there, I would create lessons from these textbooks and I would run around teaching people. And I never could figure out like, hey, how do I turn this into a business? But I always was iterating business idea after business idea after business idea when I was like, you know, preteen, teenager. And I always knew that. My aunt's a business owner. There's several other people in my family who are business owners. So I always knew I wanted to work for myself. I just was never sure exactly what that looked like.
Until the opportunity basically fell in your lap.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's one of those things where I've always tried to be really good at adapting to what is going on. And I think that's part of the reason why I've made it so far in business, because I think if you're not really like, if you don't adapt and you don't look for where opportunities are, then it's really, really hard to like grow.
Especially during this time.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's crazy. And the crazy thing is it always drives me a little bananas when I hear people say, or they're really negative Nelly around what's going on. I'm like, there are opportunities everywhere. Like if you have a will to want to succeed in this market, like there is massive opportunity if you can find it, see it, and capitalize on it.
I love that. It's such a great perspective to have no matter what type of business you're in. I mean, as you just said, no matter what position you find yourself in, if you're looking for those opportunities and acting upon them, you always have the opportunity to keep growing, scaling, and moving forward.
So true. So true. I mean, I started my business in a recession, if you think about it, right? Like that was right, like kind of the crash after 9/11 is when I started my business, and I started in college, and I started making $100,000 probably within the first 2 years straight out of college, which is like crazy bananas when you're, you know, 21. And so, you know, you just have to find that opportunity.
Yes, most definitely. What would you say was the most difficult part of starting your business while young?
Being young. I think that a lot of it goes both ways. Like you don't have a lot of experience, right? Thankfully, just like you, I was in a technology business, like something that was emerging. So not a lot of people who are older really understood it, but that was also to my benefit and to my detriment. So a lot of people would be like, well, you're young. Like, I don't know if I can trust you. You're young. I don't know, like, if you have the experience to do this or the credibility or this. So I think for me, that was a real challenge. I also think that one really big challenge for me in my 20s was like the disconnect from my friends. I remember we would go out on a Friday night and they would be sitting there and they'd be talking about work and this and that and the other. And I'm like, I just could not even relate to that. And like the things that they would complain about, I was like, well, I'm the boss that you're complaining about. You know, yeah. So that was a real challenge for me in terms of like my personal relationships. And then I think setting boundaries. I remember when I first started my business, my dad, it would be like, you know, 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And my dad would be like, oh, can you come pick me up for the airport? Or can you go run this errand? And it's like, I do have a business. And so I think learning to set boundaries, getting that experience and establishing trust with people who don't know you, and then just finding that tribe of people who understand what you're going through, because it's different than somebody who works a 9-to-5.
You're absolutely right. And I love that, especially with the first one, talking about your age, how it can be both a benefit, but also a loss to you. I mean, there's some people who look at young people starting businesses and they're like, you're so young and you grew up doing this, so you have so much potential. But then on the other end, as you mentioned, there's people who are like, well, you're just 19, 20, 21 years old and you haven't entered that stereotypical real world or cliche real world that people always talk about. How do you know what you're doing? So it's just trying to navigate those doubts of other people and just making sure that their doubts don't reflect onto your own. I think that is definitely a struggle.
Yeah. You said it so elegantly. Cause I really think it's just, I mean, even today I was talking with my business coach and strategist last week, and she's like, well, you still look at like you're in your 20s. And I'm like, I know, it's still a challenge. I'm like, if we weren't always on video, you could see all the gray hairs popping up. You'd realize that I'm not a 20 something, I'm a 30 something. But, you know, I do think, and it's one of those things for young people that are out there and listening to this, like you have to stick with it. And I think the more that you can align yourself with people who help you really elevate yourself so that you can establish trust quickly with prospects and potential clients, like that for me was the differentiator. So when I started to, I would always like dress a little bit older than I am. And I would always try and like, I don't want to say cut my hair in a different way than I would, but like I cut my hair a little bit shorter so that it made me look a little bit older, and I would always dress like way dressier than everybody else. And that, I know that sounds so silly, but when you're working with people who are older than you, like it made a world of difference. It's such a silly little thing, but first impressions, you know?
Yes, absolutely. So on the opposite end, knowing that the most difficult parts of starting your business were being young, not being able to relate to your friends, and not, kind of struggling with setting boundaries, on the opposite end, what was the most rewarding?
Making my own hours. That was so amazing. And just, I was very fortunate. I was able to make a lot of money really quickly. So that was amazing and not something that I really had foreseen as a benefit. Like I knew it, but I didn't think it would happen so quickly. And then I just think it gives you a lot of freedom. Like when you own your own business and you make your own rules around that and you figure it out, you have a lot of freedom and you have a lot of options. And I just think for me, that's a huge part of why I do what I do today. And I think about all the amazing opportunities I got as part of my 20s that I probably wouldn't have had otherwise if I had been in a 9-to-5 where I had to do these rigid things at these rigid times. And that's probably one of the biggest things that I think is a massive benefit for working for yourself.
I say the same exact thing. I mean, sometimes I think back on even the past year about what's happened and I'm like, wow, at 22, 23 years old, I've already done X, Y, and Z. I mean, I never would have had this happen if I had been in a 9-to-5 or working for someone else, even 10 or 20 or 30 years later. So it's like, by being entrepreneurs while we're young, we're opened up to so many different opportunities. And I also love the fact that you talked about freedom. And I think that both of us actually love being able to set our hours to go to the beach. So knowing that you're in Newport, and of course I'm on the South Shore in Massachusetts. I mean, one thing I love to do in the summer, and now that the warm weather is finally here, is that every Friday I take work completely off and just spend the day at the beach. But it's like, it's okay to do that because one, we're our own bosses. And two, we work hard enough during the week that it's okay if we want to take that day off and be able to focus on ourselves. And so that is something that is just a huge benefit. And so I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah, I'm the same. I take Fridays off. And I think one thing that, like, we in as a American culture and American society, we have created this like perceived notion that work is 9-to-5 Monday through Friday. And it doesn't have to be that way. And I think that's the biggest benefit for me in working for myself. Like, when I come to work, I work. Yes. I don't just sit there and scroll on social media and wait for time to pass. Like, I would contend, you know, most people can probably get their job done in 3.5 or 4 days a week, but we as a society have like trapped them into staying in the 9-to-5. You have to do this. And like, the freedom to be able to take every Friday off or whatever you want to do to go do what you want to do is amazing. Like, go do more of that.
You're absolutely right. And I love the point that you just made about we have the potential of completing all of our work within 3.5 to 4 days. And I forget this exact statistic, but I read an article once that talked about a lot of people's time spent at work with Morton working for another company is that they're actually so bogged down with getting distracted by other people, by having meetings, by needing to connect with other people and all this stuff. And it's like, as entrepreneurs, we don't have those quote unquote distractions. So it's like, we're more productive with our time because we're able to set those boundaries, as you mentioned earlier, and keep moving forward in our work and focusing on what needs to get done and when.
Yeah, agree completely. And I'll be transparent with you, Ashley. Like, that was something that it took me a solid 7 or 8 years to break free from the, oh, I need to be at my desk Monday through Friday, 8-to-4, because that's what society told me that I needed to do. Yes. You know, and it's a hard thing to learn because it's so ingrained in our culture. Like, I grew up and my dad still is in corporate America, and they have this expectation you're going to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week and you're going to be plugged in all the time and this and that and the other. And I really had to unlearn that. So it makes me so happy and excited for you that you are doing that now. It didn't have to like go through so much learning. Like, it took me probably 7 or 8 years to like undo that programming.
Right. But I think what you mentioned is exactly what people struggle with. And it's the fact that it's society's expectations. So we think that because society wants us to do this or thinks we should do it, then we do it rather than following what we want to do and what we know what's best for us. So it's really hard because the dialogue, of course, around young entrepreneurship and entrepreneurship in general needs to change. And so with society just kind of almost conforming to their beliefs, it's really hard. But as you mentioned, once you finally come to that realization or almost epiphany that you're able to set the own rules for yourself, it's like crazy. It's an unreal feeling.
It totally is. And I love that you say that. Like, it's just, I always love every conversation I have with you. You're just like wise beyond your years.
Oh, Jamie.
It's true though. I'm like, so many of the things that you know, I wish I knew that when I was 21 and 22, and maybe I'm just, you know, more stubborn. I don't know. It took me a while to get it through my head, especially when I was young. Just like, I felt like I had to do all these things to like prove myself to everyone else. And it's like, when you realize you're doing it for you, you know, there's a massive shift that happens.
Oh, absolutely. So knowing that, and you had actually kind of mentioned this early on, is that within the first 2 years of your business, you had reached $100,000. What do you think led you to that success?
I would say perseverance. I think I was also just kind of lucky. I was in the right place at the right time. And to my benefit and my detriment, I also had lots of time. So I solely just kind of poured myself into my work. And I really made it my mission to be successful. And I just made sure I did a good job. I over-delivered. And I was part of, like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with BNI, you probably are. I joined BNI right out of the gate in my business. And I got a ton of referrals. I got a ton of business. It was relatively really easy to sell websites back then, simply because there was like no one else doing it, at least in my area. And so, you know, everyone's like, I got to have a website. The Yellow Pages said, I have to have a website. and so, you know, it just kind of happened really, really quickly for me. But I think, you know, doing a good job, like doing what I said I would do, really led me to get a lot of referrals. Most of my business came by referral back then. And it just, yeah, that's what I think that's what I would say.
Yeah. And I love that you focus specifically on referrals, because I feel like the word networking is just such a cliche now, where people are like, oh, networking. Yeah. I need to do that. But it's seriously so true. I mean, it's like once you start getting out there, connecting with people who could really build that beneficial mutual relationship with you, where it's like you're both benefiting from it, and being able to provide quality work for them. Now they're sharing your contact information with everyone they know, who's sharing your contact information with everyone they know. And so it's just kind of like a snowball effect, as I like to say. Like once you kind of get going, it's like it just keeps generating for you and ends up being a really viable source of getting new clients and leads.
Agreed 100%. And I think the biggest thing that we forget nowadays, and I'm sure you run into this with clients as well, like they rely way too heavily on like the outbound marketing, if you will. So like the social media posts and like the email marketing and all that sort of stuff. And then they neglect the relationship part. And it's like, all those things work together. You know, you have to do the relationship building. You have to do the networking. I'm using air quotes. You can't see me. You have to do the networking, and you have to like deliver a good product to people. And all those things in conjunction with your marketing work together to make you successful. And I think that that's something that I've noticed has really changed a lot in the last decade or so. I think people have lost the art, because it's not everyone, but a lot of people have lost that art of networking and forming relationships, you know?
Right. And I almost feel like that has partly come of the fact because that so many businesses are going online now. And so because of the fact that so many businesses are online, it's like people don't really need to go out and meet other people to kind of get that business and build those relationships. They feel like they can do it all remotely. But one thing that happens with that is that when you say you're going to do it remotely, you don't always follow through on it. So yeah, it can be a little bit more difficult, but you're absolutely right that being able to continue to build relationships with other people and still tie in that human aspect is so important.
Yeah. I think it's something that, you know, was a huge part of my success when I first started my business. And eventually I got to the point where I was just so busy between referrals and building relationships that I had to like put the kibosh on it. Not completely, but I had to be way more selective in terms of where and how I was spending my time. But ultimately, like, I literally have people who I met during that time period that still come to me for things today, because I did such a good job establishing a relationship and building trust and creating rapport that it still pays off tenfold. And so the more that you can establish that relationship and just like be human, right? Because we all kind of forget sometimes to be human behind the marketing and the social media, the better off you're going to be in terms of building your business.
100%. So Jamie, if there was one thing you wish you did differently, or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
Believe in myself. I think that I had a lot of doubts when I was younger that I was am I able to do this? Am I worthy of doing this? Am I capable of doing this? And I think that self-doubt really held me back from growing my business. I would say that. And I would also say, stop overthinking it. Like, I think that's probably the biggest thing. Like, it's kind of those two things go together, but yeah. I wanted to create my first course probably 8 or 9 years ago, back when like all of the online info products started popping up, and I never did it because I never felt like I knew enough, or I like doubted it, or, you know, all of these sort of like self-doubt, self-worth, self-confidence type things came up because I always felt like I needed more experience, and I really wish I stopped overthinking it and just did it.
I think that's a great one. And I think it's definitely something a lot of other people struggle with too, is just the fact of, am I capable of doing this? Do I really deserve to get paid for this? Do I really have the experience to act upon this and sell it to someone and all of that stuff? And I think it really does kind of go back to the fact that society is always placing those preconceived terms on us by telling us that we're not capable of doing that. So we start to believe it ourselves. And it's really hard to break free of that.
It really, really is.
Yes. But once you kind of get past it, it's like, then it's almost like it keeps snowballing. And it's like you make that first step and then you keep making bigger and bigger steps towards your goals. And you find that you're finally at that point where you always envisioned or dreamed of being.
Yep. Agreed.
Absolutely. So why do you think it's so important for individuals to start a business at a young age?
Oh, great question. I think there's absolutely no better time to do it, to be completely frank. I mean, I have 2 children, a house, a rental property now. So like, I feel like I would probably feel more nervous about starting a business now because I do have a lot of more responsibilities, but I don't necessarily think that's the right reason to start a business. I think it's go after it, like follow your dreams. Don't be afraid to take action. Like if you feel that spark inside of you to create something amazing and to build a business, like do it. There's no better time than now. And overthinking and indecision essentially is a decision. And so I would just say, move forward, take that step. If that's what you feel called to do, because you're always going to feel that calling. Like it's not just going to magically go away one day. So I think honoring that and really trusting your gut and going with that when you're younger pays off tenfold as you get older. And
I think you 100% hit the nail on the head. That's one thing that I always say, is that if you're even thinking about taking a leap, that's an indication that you should 100% take that leap. Because exactly as you said, the thought that you have in this dream and idea and vision, it's never going to go away. If anything, it's only going to get bigger and bigger. And so it's like, no matter what point we're at in our life, we're always going to be able to come up with excuses that stops us from moving forward. So why not forget the excuses and do it anyway? I mean, if we're always going to be able to come up with something that will tell us why we shouldn't or why we can't do something, I mean, then we wouldn't get anything done, right?
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. And like, honestly, I talk to my dad a lot, and he to this day still has regrets about not starting a business in his 20s. And he was very much like an 80s, came of age in the 80s, and he would have been one of like the .com type folks, right? And really like the programming gurus. And it's something to this day that he still is like, oh, I wish I did that. Like I'd be in such a different position today. And so I don't like to live life with regrets. I have gotten way better about my indecision as I've gotten older. But I do think like, just take that action, take that leap. And when you're younger, like you do have less responsibilities. So that's like an even better time to like take that risk, right? Because you have less to lose. And the older you get, the more excuses that you're going to be able to come up with as to why you can't move forward, you know? And it's like, do it, just do it.
Absolutely. And it's exactly what you said, is that when you get older, you kind of get more responsibilities of having kids, having house, having other bills to pay and all of that stuff. But it's like when you're younger, you may have some responsibility, but not that much. And so that was one thing that people always told me. So the people who believed in me and supported me in starting my business while young is that they were always like, well, now is actually a really great time to do so because you're still in school. So say if it doesn't work out or if it doesn't go the way that you wanted it to, it's almost like it never really happened because you can graduate, move on to another job, and you'll be totally fine. So it's like kind of just shifting that mindset and understanding that, that no matter what happens, everything is going to work out and everything is going to be okay. But you're absolutely right that when we're young, it's the best time to do so.
Yeah. I mean, I just look back and think, oh man, I wish I actually took more risks when I was in my 20s and when I first started my business. Cause I'm like, man, I would have like a multi-million dollar business now if I had done that. Cause it changes the trajectory, you know? And so it's like, I encourage people to take that risk. Cause it's like massively amazing things can happen.
I love that. So Jamie, what's the last piece of advice you'd like to leave with our listeners for someone who may be just starting?
Surround yourself with people who have a business model that you want to create. I wish that I embraced having a mentor or having somebody to model my business after when I was much younger. I really didn't start doing that until probably 6 or 7 years ago. And it's something I always felt competitive towards those people rather than embracing the fact that, hey, this person can actually refer me business, or hey, this person has the model that I want to create. Like, what can I learn from them? And so I think if you, when you're young, can have that mindset of like, what can I learn from this person who's further along than I am? What can I learn from this person who has the business that I want to have, the faster you're going to get there.
I think that's an excellent point, and it's something that's seriously so true. I mean, from my own experience with that, I actually have a few clients that are bigger marketing agencies or marketing firms within the Massachusetts area. And so although I only help them with a few of their clients, I see so many different things that they're doing in their own firms through like how they handle client relationships, different processes and systems they implement, their own marketing strategies and all of that stuff. And I'm like, hey, this is actually like a really good idea that they're implementing. I want to see how I can make it work for my business. And so as you mentioned, it's just a great way to be able to provide yourself with mentors who can kind of guide you along the way, but also give you further experience to learn how you can be better at doing what you love.
Agreed. And I think even to take it one step further, to be like, hey, I don't like this part of this business.
Yes.
Because I think that's so important. I don't know. One thing that I said yes to a lot of things I should have said no to in my business, because it just wasn't aligned with the future of my business when I was younger. And I think when you can look at somebody who's further along than you and kind of see behind the scenes of their business, you can be like, oh, I don't know that I want to do that, and be really hyper clear about that. Because I think that's something that happens especially when we're young in business. We're like, yes, I want to do that. Or yes, I want to do this. And it's like, when you have somebody that has a model, you can also kind of see like, what are the pitfalls of that model and make adjustments accordingly.
Yes. Absolutely. And that's a great way to be able to kind of see how other people are doing things and know what you need to do to continue to adapt, grow, and move forward. Because as you mentioned at the very beginning of this episode, always being able to adapt in your business is what will help you to stand out against other people and keep growing despite the circumstances that may be happening for others.
Yes. Agreed.
Awesome. Well, Jamie, this has been such an amazing episode, and I love all of the tidbits and advice and tips that you've shared with our listeners. And so now I'd love if you could share with them where they can find you online if they would like to connect with you further.
Yeah. So online, I am outliermarketinggroup.com, pretty much everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, the podcast. You can also connect with me personally. I'm Jamie Palmer on Facebook. So I always typically say yes to all the friend requests that I get. So come on over and
love
say
it.
Hello.
Awesome. And I'll leave all those links in the show notes as well. So that way, if anyone missed those, they'll be able to click through and get in touch with you right away.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.